time for Licking on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Licking on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Licking on Lending, David Licking.
Let's begin.
Good to have you with us, everybody. We're excited to be sharing another podcast with you. So many of you are turning to this podcast as an alternative way, or as so many of you say, no, this has become my main way of getting an update. We all live such busy lives, and this is a very effective way how you can stay up on what's going on in the industry and do so while you're driving, working out. Like one of the senior exec lenders once, Dave, I was doing a bunch of honeydews over the weekend, and I sat and listened to it. That was Matt Orlando. And I listened to 3-4 podcasts. I just love this. So I want to say thank you to all of you who are listeners, and very grateful to have you here with us again and listening to either on a downloaded basis or listening live. And we got a lot of live listeners today, possibly because of our special guest, David Gansberg, CEO of ArchMI, a sponsor and a great partner. And very excited to hear his comments here later on in the Hot Topic segment. In fact, there's going to be some information released in that Hot Topic of the questions that you're going to want to pay attention to. And I know we've got some competitors out there, so a little more difficult to compete with these guys with some things they have coming out. It's Monday, June 4th. We say that at the beginning of each podcast because many of you do listen on a downloaded basis. And again, we want to say thank you for tuning in to this podcast. Again, this podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals, and we're grateful to have you as our listeners. I chuckle because I listen to some of my own podcasts. I go, it is certainly evident we are not professional broadcasters. Again, our commitment is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime and anywhere. Before we get any further into the podcast, I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors. I want to say thank you to the MBA and the Mortgage Action Alliance team for their partnership. Also, ArchMI, they're a sponsor and a guest today, creator of the innovative RateStar program. Black Knight, the leading provider of integrated software and data analytics. And, of course, we have the Mortgage Collaborative, and we also have Lenders One. Both of these are collaboratives. These are special organizations within the industry that bring industry leaders together. And we're members of both of them and very excited about it. Lenders One has their executive roundtable coming up that I'll be flying out to Denver. And there's about 20 companies, 20 or 25 executives. I think it's 20 companies getting together. And I'll be moderating an executive planning session. Very excited to be doing that on Wednesday and Thursday. Here's why you need to be a part of those, guys. One of these collaboratives, or both of them, many of them are part of both, is because of the thought leadership that goes into these conferences and these events that they plan. It is so important. You know, we've often heard it said, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Well, you get to be up close and personal with many of the industry leaders at these events. So we're pleased to be a part of both of them. Also, special shout out and thank you to Velma, an efficient mortgage electronic marketing email platform. Very pleased to have our partnership with them, as well as the Knowledge Coop, providing easy and fun training for mortgage lenders. And then one of our newest sponsors is Open Mortgage, the leading buyer of reverse mortgages, as well as a purchase product as well. They are looking for more loan officers. So if you're a loan officer looking to make a change or wanting to increase your income through reverse mortgages, go to their website, openmortgage.com. And another reason to go there, folks, is check out the videos that Scott Gordon and his team have done. They're some of the most innovative and informative videos out there in the market. And we've just added another new sponsor, Predictive. Their company helps you make money through intelligent marketing that you can use. And I've just spent the weekend going through all their stuff. Can you imagine being able to get a hold of a consumer that is actually clicking to look for a mortgage right now and get the information about that? They combine artificial intelligence along with pay-per-clicks, along with all this other information that's out there, and they bring it together and get you the person almost before they start clicking away. So very interested, glad to have them. We'll be featuring more about them and what they're doing. We'll have them on the podcast. Again, artificial intelligence combined with the latest intelligence on how to market to exactly your targeted audience. I tell you, I'm very excited about this new sponsor and what they can do for your business. Finally, a special thank you goes to Alice, Andy, Alan, and Joe for their contributions to this podcast. Let's run over to Rob Van Rapport and what he has this week for the MBA Mortgage Minute. Rob, what do you got for us?
Hi, I'm Rob Van Rapport. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Congress was in recess last week because of the Memorial Day holiday. They do, however, return this week. MBA will be paying attention to a House Financial Services Committee, which will be holding a hearing on improving transparency and accountability at the Bureau of Consumer Financial Protection, formerly known as the CFPB. Also this week, MBA will be focusing on the Senate Appropriations Committee markups for fiscal year 2019 for transportation and HUD subcommittee proposals and financial services and general government subcommittee proposals. And finally this week, MBA's weekly mortgage app survey showed that mortgage applications decreased 2.9% from 1 week earlier, and the average contract interest rate for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage decreased to 4.84% from 4.86%. That's all this week, and thanks for joining us on the Mortgage Minute.
Appreciate the partnership with the MBA. So good to have them there with us. Also, you know what's going on this week also? Rob didn't bring it up, is the Chairman's Conference is going on this week, and we're going to hear announcement either today or tomorrow or sometime this first part of this week. We're going to hear the announcement of who is the replacement to David Stevens. That is being announced. I understand it's being announced this week, so you'll be wanting to stay in touch with that significant event. David's brought so much leadership. David Stevens has brought so much wonderful leadership to our industry. He's retiring, at least from the MBA, and we'll miss him. But we're going to hear this week who's going to be replacing him. Also, some conferences that are coming up in Denver. I am there again doing the Moderating the Lenders One Roundtable. June 4th, I'll be in Portland, Oregon, speaking at the Greater Northwest Mortgage Expo. It's at Embassy Suites, Washington Square. Check it out. We have had such good attendance at these events, as well as July 10th in New Orleans, the Ultimate Mortgage Expo. I'll be speaking there. And then August 2nd, Chandler, Arizona. I'll be there as well. All right. We always go to Les Parker. He gives us not only an update on a macro look of the markets, but also a music parody. So, Les Parker, take it away. What you got for us, friend?
TMS Soundbites is brought to you by LoanLogic. Don't go breaking my heart. Bears couldn't if they tried. The Bulls are back. But will boredom end? Last hump day, the bonds rallied as if Italy was headed to its own Brexit. We've written about the problems in Italy for a while and shared with you before the event that Italy could trigger the new bull market. As much as Pooh loves honey and Yogi loves picnic baskets, both are scarce for the bears. Nobody knows how much food is available for the bulls with the fragility of Europe and emerging markets. If this bull has legs, then boredom is replaced with excitement. I give you my heart. These views are my own. Go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
Oh, Les, I love that. Gary Cantorbone does a lot of the audio engineering on those spots, and he does a great job. Thank you, Les. Appreciate it. Yeah, Les said at the beginning of this year that Italy could be the canary in the coal mine, and we could find ourselves in a real interesting situation when we look at what's going on over there. So anyway, when I had Logan Motoshami and Les on here a couple of weeks ago, they predicted that interest rates were there, saying that they're suggesting it's a possibility, a very likely possibility. We could see rates move lower, so at least for a little while. But anyway, let's run over to Knowledge Coop with Nathan. Grateful to have their sponsorship and their partnership with us. If you're looking for a good training platform, you want to learn about this one.
At the Knowledge Coop, we work hard to create training that engages and encourages our audience. Once people are engaged in training, they are more likely to stay focused and retain the information that they need to know. So here's your training tip for the week. Next time you have an important policy or bit of knowledge you need to train, do it in short clips. And make sure you sprinkle it in with a little bit of humor. Video training is highly impactful, but only when done in the way we've been conditioned through TV. Videos should be no more than 5 minutes, should get to the point, and humor should be sprinkled through to emphasize the important points. Memories are more powerful when attached to an emotion. If you need help with your company's training, please reach out to us at knowledgecoop.com, and we'd be happy to assist. And that's your Training Minute from the Knowledge Cube, which strives for easy and fun training for the mortgage industry powered by a smart digital platform.
Thanks, Nathan. That's Nathan Nottingham with Knowledge Cube. Check it out, knowledgecube.com. Joe Farr, always fun to have you on the podcast, and good to know that you're on the landline where you're in range. Yeah. We can hear you. We hear you.
All
Joe,
right.
Are you there? Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I'm here.
Good to have you doing. It's good to have you here, friend. Looking at your notes, give our listeners an update. Well, what's going to be in the news and could be moving mortgage rates this week?
Well, right now, mortgage rates or mortgage MBS prices anywhere are drifting a little bit lower, which means that prices could change in the middle of the day here if we have much further drop. We're right now just 3/32 or 9 basis points below early morning pricing, but another 32nd or two drop in prices could result in unfavorable price changes. Really nothing pushing that, Dave. The economic data that came out this morning was, you know, not significant. Factory orders came in a little weaker than expected. And then the stock market's up a little bit, which could be weighing a little bit on MBS prices. The Dow's up a couple hundred points. But going back to what Les said, last week, Italy was a big driver of prices on Tuesday. A big rally, 60 basis point in price on Tuesday, as fears about the new government being formed, being anti-Euro, and the uncertainty that goes along with that risk. But that concern subsided over the next few days a little bit, and prices drifted lower, giving back those gains. The stock market losses that accompanied the Tuesday improvement in MBS recovered, and actually for the week there was very little net movement. I think MBS prices wound up the week 10 basis points lower, and the Dow ended up, you know, 100 basis points higher. So not a lot of movement between the start and the end of the week, but just a good bit of volatility in between. During the week last week, Dave, the big thing that came out was the jobs data.
Yeah, I saw that.
Very, very good jobs report. 223,000 jobs, 190 were expected. Unemployment rate fell again to 3.8%. This is the lowest since 2000. And then wages rose, you know, creating some concern about future inflation. But wages rose at an annual rate of 2.7%, and that's up from 2.6% the month before. And certainly this data gives the Fed a green light to go ahead with a June rate hike. I think the expectations are about 91% that that's going to happen. But it also increases the expectations for two more rate hikes this year. There was a lot of discussion between will it be three or will it be four in 2018, and this
right.
kind of jobs report certainly gives rise to probably four rate hike increases. The rest of the data that came out during the week, and there was some pretty significant data. Most of it was pretty close to expected. Second quarter GDP fell a tenth to 2.2%. And then the
core PCE.
April 4 PCE was 10 basis point or a tenth higher than what had been expected. Pending home sales fell a bunch, and according to NAR, low supply. Demand remains high, but it's low supply, and a little bit of, you know, on the lower end, rising rates has a bigger effect. And during the period that these were tallied in April, interest rates had risen fairly significantly, and so those rising rates, along with rising prices, could it constrain the lower-end home prices. Looking at the week ahead, Dave, there's not a lot on the calendar. Tomorrow, the ISM Services Index comes out, along with JOLTS. And then with the Fed meeting coming up starts on the 12th, ends on the 13th, it's a quiet period as far as Fed speakers go, so there's none of that on the schedule. But the schedule hasn't been the big driver of movement lately. So, you know, it's all been geopolitical events, tariffs, North Korea, Italy, European Union, all those things are still active in the market and could very much have an influence on mortgage rates during the week ahead.
Interesting. Lots of variables in the market. And this week, I mean, it looks like it's calm, but you know what? It just takes one comment from, you know, something happening overseas, especially when you look at Italy. I'm really interested in looking at that, especially when Les made the comments at the beginning of the year. So it's always one of those countries I'm looking at. So I think it's going to be more external because our internal structure. You know, one thing that Logan Motoshami said, you know, 2 weeks ago, Joe, when we interviewed him, it was really interesting. He said, you know, we almost in America have an unfair advantage in the world marketplace because of just
just how strong we are. And I thought that was really interesting. And I've gone back and listened to that podcast a number of times and encourage our listeners to do so. But thanks so much for dialing in and being a part of the podcast each and every week. When Alice and I were talking at the beginning before, just as everyone was dialing in and we were getting ready to go live, about how long we've been doing this. You, Andy, Alice, and I have been doing this for over 9 years. Can you believe it? Hard to believe. Yeah. But anyway, we got thousands upon thousands of followers and listeners, so it's good to have it, and you make a big part of it. So thank you, Joe Farr. Appreciate you being here, my friend. Folks, we're going to be right back with a brief word from Velma, and then we're going to get Alice on the phone here. Well, she's already on the phone. She's ready for another report.
Are you using one of those expensive CRMs that your loan officers won't use? If so, then give my friends at Velma a call and let them help you create a customer journey that relies on the data and not on loan officer interaction. I encourage you to consider working with Velma to create a truly automated marketing experience for your organization. Velma makes marketing automation easy. Schedule a demo today at Velma.com, V-E-L-M-A.com.
Check them out. Great way to get the word out. And then also combine that along with Predictive, our new advertiser, which I can't wait to get that information out to you. Very interesting what's going on in marketing. It's, you know, one of my favorite guys in the whole marketing world is Jim Jump of ArchMI. He is staying in. He's progressive. He saw this program and heard about it, gosh, 5 years ago or more, and got in. I tell you, folks, it's so important in marketing. You got to be on the cutting edge of what's going on in the industry. Anyway, listen here. We've got some more exciting stuff. We're going to be focusing more on marketing as we move forward. A lot going on, Alice, with mergers and acquisitions. We just heard about the big acquisition of an industry titan that's been around forever. First Franklin out of Franklin, Tennessee, right there in the Nashville area. So a lot going on, and you've been involved in your own acquisition. So tell us what you got for us today, Alice. Good to have you here.
Well, yes. I mean, just to address your question, we are now partners with Alliance Home Mortgage. They are a part of Union Home, and we have been working on our transition over the last 30 days, which has just been a phenomenal experience. We've got a lot of experts here who have been through that before, and we're happy to welcome all those new partners to our team, and we're excited for all the new synergies. So all that is good. And then for my legislative update, a lot of exciting news also. We had the holiday last Monday. I didn't get a chance to, you know, we don't have too many shows where we get to talk about something actually getting signed by the president. And that was that was last week, right? So you may have heard a little bit about the House and the Senate passing regulatory relief bills. We've talked about that on the show. And then President Trump did sign that into law. Now, essentially, this was that there were about 37 bills plus that we had been monitoring. And most of those components had been pulled into this. But just for a little clarity on those of you going, okay, what did we get? Is this good? Right? Am I happy that this bill got signed? You know, the answer is yes. Probably the biggest thing from an origination standpoint is SAFE Act transitional licensing is finally law. Now, we are watching to see how each of the states will develop their implementation plans. But essentially what that means is if you're employed by a entity like a bank or credit union and you don't have a license, you're essentially registered, then you still need to go through and you want to move to a lender. You would still need to fill in an application, go through your background check, and make sure that you meet the basic application requirements. The timing is there so that you have time. You have 120 days to then finish the course, because now you've got to take your 20-hour course and your testing. So keep that in mind. It doesn't mean you get to just overnight switch to a lender and then, you know, wake up and go, gee, what do I do next? What's an MU4 form, right? You better start that process to make sure you're planning ahead. So that is probably one of the biggest things on the ground. The other thing is actually making it now law as far as VA's seasoning requirements. So there, recently you may have heard of Jenny May's memorandum that restricted this, but it wasn't an outright prohibition. You still had options. So now that absolutely is written into law, and it's now you've got to have the seasoning requirements. We were hoping for more relief under TRID, there had been bills in the past that were going to level set things between brokers in the wholesale environment and the pricing and how their LEs and CDs are filled in. That, from what I can see, is not actually formalized yet in this final bill. We're still sifting through paperwork to make 100% sure. So when you see in short headings that there's been some partial TILA and RESPA relief, that really is only going down the lines of, you know, some of the other requirements, but not anything specific to what we were really hoping for. So we're going to wait. It does require that the new, as you heard earlier, Bureau of Consumer Financial Protection, so now it's BCFP, you have to rephrase your letters now, that there will be some urgency put on the Bureau to make sure that they actually do address some of the inconsistencies within the law. So this law says go back and address some of the problems, and we'll make sure we'll watch for that broker piece in that component. One of the other things I love that's included is that it does say to the Bureau, go pay attention to what's going on with credit scores. We talked a little bit a couple weeks ago about the Vantage score, that it does have some benefits for borrowers. You know, Fannie and Freddie don't want to go through all the programming changes to let go of the FICO model, but as an industry, we really should be pushing for greater flexibility, really embracing some of the newer technologies that really measure things, and Vantage really does open up the door for more borrowers, and I think we'd all like to see that. So it's written in the law that they have to pay attention to it, and up to us as an industry to make sure that they really do. And MBA is already on it, sending letters to the Bureau of Consumer Financial Protection. Boy, that's going to be just as hard as trying to stop saying GSD and HUD 1.
I know.
MBA has sent out a letter to them to say, you really have to start addressing many of the requests out there to improve how we're dealing with the BCFP and make sure that things are going more smoothly. So check that out as well. So that's my update, Dave, and I will turn it back to you.
Good job, Alice. Appreciate you so much. Folks, we're going to be right back after a brief word from our friends at Motivity Solutions with the KPI of the week. Folks, pay attention. These ads are always so informative. So let's listen to John Maynell talk about the KPI submitted to initial decision.
Thanks very much, Dave. Always great to be here. And this week's key performance indicator focuses on one of Alice's favorite topics, namely the underwriting process. And the KPI is submitted to initial decision. This is generally measured in hours, and you can either use this to measure an entire department's average turn time or even individual underwriters. Very effective if you're using balanced multi-metric scorecards to fine-tune the behaviors of individual staff members. This measurement can also guide an organization to areas upstream from underwriting that contribute to this initial cycle time, like processing, setup, or even sales, to help ensure that people in those areas produce complete and accurate files that make the absolute best use of the underwriter's time. So the broad scope makes this a very powerful metric and shows yet again that what gets measured gets results. And with that, Dave, I will thank you again and turn it back to you.
Love that. What gets measured gets results. So true. Love that. Great partnership with Motivity Solutions. I was just talking to Tyler the other day, and it's so good to hear his voice after so much. There's so much going on in the business. We're all just so busy. We don't get to chat with each other as much as we would like to. But anyway, check them out. Motivity Solutions, now part of the Black Knight family. Alan Pollack, good to have you here with us. What you have
David
for
Lincoln.
Us on a tech update, my friend?
Well, today the topic's very relevant because I think there's some folks out there that are trying to build their dream team. They're trying to put the right technology folks together, whether it's to build their own product or if they're, you know, hiring people to manage what they're implementing with all the different vendors. So I want to talk a little bit today about what it really takes to, or what kind of questions you can ask to hire the right candidates for your company. Everybody has their own flavor. I've got a lot of experience on my side, David, so I'm going to go with some of the opinions I have, but it's generalized to some degree. First, I think most important, when you're looking at the technology folks, project planning skills are really important. If you're looking at hiring a technology delivery manager, somebody that's in charge of coordinating vendor projects, or even a developer, how do they take on technology projects? That's really important. You know, depending on how the staff may be, you want to consider this topic very carefully. Everybody is different. And for me, I always liked working with team members that were not only interested in the requirements, but they were very visual. A picture paints a thousand words.
That's good.
And I've been myself on many projects where you don't have a picture, and it's not until you walk through those visual steps that you understand really what's involved. Second is problem-solving skills. I think it's really important that you ask them, how are they looking to tackle a problem? Do they understand the audience first? Do they look at the problem first? And how do they work for that end result? If something doesn't go their way, how do they handle it? In addition to that, I think looking at past work they've done, very important component to be interested in is, have they worked on a team? So they use a lot of we's when they talk, or do they work individually and they use a lot of I's? And more importantly, when you understand if they're more of a team player or an individual player, how did they make something better, faster, smarter, or more efficient? That's really important. Culturally, this is a big one too, David. You know, you want to think of the size of your company and how your company, do you have a flat organization? Do you have a very large set of hierarchy in place? And where have they worked? How do they lean on others within that tree that they may fall?
That's good.
And how do they fail? Yeah. You know, have they learned from their failures and their personality, right? And you'll get some of that from the problem solving. You really want to know, how do they approach those different scenarios? And do they have any other strengths outside of that job role? In addition, I think it's really important that you talk about an example. So depending on the person you're looking to hire, have a scenario ready. And if you think about it, you know, you can bring up project details, and as you're conversing with them, you can look to see how well do they listen. Maybe explain that this is a new project that you don't know how to accomplish, and so your question, your conversation with them turns into a question, and you can talk about your idea on how you may want to implement or pause and let them understand and let them respond to you. In addition, what is that end result? And then collaborate and ask them what they feel that end result is. A couple more really important topics I think are worth mentioning, David. How do they keep their skills current? As a programmer, as a project manager, everything changes really fast. You and I have been part of organizations where everything is yesterday, right? We need an emergency. It's needed now. So how do they keep their skills current? If it's a coder, you know, maybe you want to give them a small test project that you use with other candidates so you can look at how people may have gone about things differently. If you're looking to hire a QA lead, you may want to walk through a report, ask them to provide an analysis on how you may be doing, like a health check. And if it's a project manager or a delivery lead, you may want to ask her how they structure a project. Ask them for an example.
Yeah,
finally, I think when you're looking at software development, David, it's important to remember that technology changes. They should be eager to be agile, learn, and prosper within your organization.
Yep, I like that. I like that one thing you said. It's I versus we. And it goes to one of my favorite books, Go Giver. If you haven't read that book, folks, go check it out. It's a great predictor of success. Talks about giving. You know, I was thinking about when you said you're running a test. Do you know that Bill Gates gave Belinda, before he agreed to marry her, a problem and she had to solve it before he would agree to marry her? So maybe there's some principles on hooking up with a spouse here, too. And we watched Bill Gates do that. Anyway, good job. Appreciate you, Alan. Appreciate you
being
here with us. And
talk to you.
You bet. We're going to be right back with a brief word from our friends at Black Knight.
Mid-market lenders, credit unions, and regional banks often face time and cost constraints when it comes to implementing new technology. The good news is, you don't have to settle for less than the best when selecting a loan origination system. Black Knight is a leading mortgage technology provider and offers an option to install its state-of-the-art Empower LOS in less than 6 months through its Empower Now program. With shorter timelines and lower implementation costs, you can have Empower up and running quickly, so you can begin originating more loans. Empower Now is a faster, more cost-effective implementation approach designed specifically for mid-tier financial institutions. With its configurable workflow and business process automation, Empower scales as your loan volume increases, meaning you don't have to change your LOS as your operations grow. Learn more about this game-changing approach to your LOS at blackknightinc.com.
BlackKnightInc.com. Check it out. They've got a great solution. Friend Sean Dugan runs the Empower Group over there for the mid-sized lenders, and great guy. Encourage you to check him out. Profit Doctor, you're in the house. So good to have you here, friend.
Nice to be back.
Yeah, I know. You did a good job on the recordings, though. It was really good, but we always like having you live. Prefer that.
Well, you too. I like listening to you live as well.
That's good.
Hey, Dave, we've got a webinar, so we're trying to be inclusive.
You did. You learned for the I versus we. We, yes, good.
That's a funny thing. That's actually a test you and I implemented on each other 12 years ago. We both passed, so good job. there's another webinar coming up on advanced accounting in 2 weeks. There's a slight chance it might get rescheduled because the MBA seems to have a challenge with their website in getting this course loaded and listed. So, but nevertheless, this course is next level crazy. It's, you know, we're going to go into derivative valuation techniques and how to use current coupon mortgage-backed security price movements to validate the valuation of the derivative along with tax implications of the derivative, jumping into capital preservation and performance measurement and management along with, you know, strategy for accountants to drive the probability of profitability through leadership buy-in. Anyway, it's like makes your head hurt, but it's got some cool stuff in it, including cash flow forecasts. Because,
that's a big one.
This is June. So what happens in June? Volume goes up. What happens when you have more volume? Well, you want to sell it. And so you sell it to the investors, and everybody else is selling it to the investors. So what happens when the investors get backlogged? They don't purchase loans as fast. So what happens to your cash flow when they don't purchase loans as fast? You have a month end with a commission payment due for payroll without the purchase of the loans needed to fund the volume. So while we're all excited about increased volume, it actually crunches cash. So we got to forecast this, predict it, figure it out, make sure we got this thing handled, and we're going to talk about that.
Well, yes, good. A lot of people, when they hear the word advanced accounting, go, their eyes roll back in their head. But here's the unique thing about you, Prophet Doctor. You take the complex and you make it easy to understand. And you're just, it's a gift you have. And so I encourage people that are thinking, I don't want to listen to anything about accounting, much less advanced accounting. You know, even you LOs, you probably do a little bit better understanding what's going on if you were to take the time to listen. So that's good. Where can they hear about the webinar and when that's going
to
get released?
It's MBA.org webinars. But if you go there, you're probably not going to find it because the MBA hid it. So if you're interested, shoot me an email, Andy@MBA.
There you go.
Andy@MBS-team.com, and I'll make sure you get the link so that you can attend this webinar. And you know what's funny, Dave, is we renamed the webinar. It's going to be running again in October as part of our we're taking our 4-series accounting classes and making it a 5-series with this one being added, and we're not calling it advanced accounting. It's going to be called cash preservation and capital management. So it's
a little bit more appealing. Well, you're good at marketing. You're always finding ways to position things. And what's really interesting is we're working with a number of companies right now. I can't remember how many we've got underway right now where we're helping them move from either they're a seller only with Fannie and moving to a seller servicer, and also the number of people going into Ginnie Mae's and helping them get approved to Ginnie. And I always ask them, do you have a cash flow? I mean, Ginnie Mae would like to know that. Can you even predict what your cash is going to look like if you start retaining. I love what people, I take people into Ginnie Mae and they say, I really want to be approved. And, you know, we'll sit down with Michael Drain or one of the team there and he'll go, so how do you forecast the impact of this going to have on your cash? And they have this blank look. That only happened to me once. That never going to happen to me again. I make sure our clients have that. And you do a good job of teaching this. That's why this class is so important. Encourage people to reach out and get a hold of you, Andy. Good job. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
Always. Yeah. And then we got to hear about your motorcycle riding. You went out and bought a new motorcycle, but that's for another day. So we'll hear about that. An accountant riding a motorcycle. I thought you were risk adverse, dude. Man, what's going on? Anyway.
I calculate risk.
You calculate risk. There
it.
You go. There you go. Don't avoid it. Calculate it. I like that. That's almost as good as the KPI of the week. All right, folks, we're going to be right back after a word. Well, guess who this word's from? ArchMI with Jim Chum. How appropriate, just ahead of David Gansberg coming on in the Hot Topic segment. Stay tuned.
Hi, David. ArchMI is happy to be a proud sponsor of the program. Today, I'd like to let your listeners know about RateStar from Arch Mortgage Insurance. RateStar makes it easy to choose what type of mortgage insurance coverage your loan needs. Quotes are delivered in seconds and represent our most competitive ArchMI rates based on the strength and quality of the loan application. That's the power of RateStar. Getting a mortgage insurance quote has never been so powerful or so simple. And with that, I'll turn it back to you, David.
Good job, Jim. Appreciate it. And the partnership. Again, Jim Chum was one of the first ones that got what we were doing when it came to this podcast. And talk about fortuitous. None of us even saw the success of this thing, but he has been there since day one. And that started back in his old PMI days, and now he's with our friends at ArchMI and joining us, David Gansberg, the president and CEO of ArchMI. David, good to have you back, my friend.
David, my pleasure to be here. How are you today?
doing awesome. It was so good
Excellent.
To see you at the secondary marketing conference in New York. And that event you put on was the best. Everyone was talking about that was the best event of the whole conference. And it's probably emblematic because of your role in the marketplace. So kudos on your success and the leadership you have brought in combining two organizations together. And I was back listening to one of your previous interviews that we did with you, and we talked about that. And so seeing as there is so much in the way of M&A work, mergers and acquisitions going on in the marketplace, thought I'd get a couple of comments from you now post that merger with UG. And just your thoughts is how is this going and what you think about all the merger activities. Is it a good thing for the industry? Your thoughts?
Yeah, David, first, before I get into that, I just want to take a minute to tell all your listeners about your appearance at our national sales meeting. So David Licken was one of the guest speakers at our national sales meeting a couple months back. He's kind enough to come out and spend some time with our sales team talking about, you know, the industry, what's going on, what he sees. You want to talk about content. I mean, where else can you get a speaker who's going to give you 2 hours of content in 60 minutes? It's not only informative, but valuable as well. David was great. It was great to have you. I'm glad you were able to make it. And
well, thank you for those kind words. I'm sitting here with my mouth dropping over because I think there is a sin of trying to put out too much content, and it was a fire hose. And it's because I do have a passion for your group and sharing all that's going on. So I did do that, but I did get a little feedback that maybe it was just a little too much and too rushed to hurry. But anyway, so thank you for those kind words. You know what? There's an old study in Minnesota did, and they said retention goes up dramatically at the faster the rate someone speaks. Now, it's important that you put pauses in there, which I struggled a little bit in that presentation with. But it is, I mean, it's amazing what we can digest when heard a little bit faster. But I am interested in getting an update on how the merger has gone. And in hindsight, has it met your expectations? And what do you think, as a thought leader, David, about the M&A that is well underway? And I think a lot more is coming. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I would say totally agree with you, David. I think we're just starting seeing the first wave of it now, and we had a big one announced just last week, right, with Franklin American and Citizens Bank, you know, a great mortgage banker that's been, you know, an incredible success story over the last few years, and then another great depository looking to expand their operations. So, you know, I think two great companies, much like ArchMI and United Guaranty, were two great companies coming together. You know, for us, we're coming up now on 18 months. So we closed our acquisition December 31st, 2016. So here at the end of June, it'll be 18 months, about a year and a half. And it has gone fantastically. I can't imagine how it could have gone any better. With all things, right, it's never going to be perfect. But I think the way we managed the process by trying to keep any issues or problems internal worked extremely well. So, right, seamless to the customer, seamless to the outside parties, which was our focus. And I think that's one of the secrets to the integration is you've got to be thoughtful about how it's going to be perceived and how you're going to ask third parties to interact with you and what you're going to require them to change to continue doing business. Because in today's world of, you know, competitive business and the desire to provide higher levels of service, you know, it becomes very difficult if you go to a customer and you say, hey, we just did this great acquisition, and because of that, we're going to need you to start doing X, Y, and Z in order to continue doing business with us, right? Not a great message for a customer. Yeah. So it's about how can you evolve and change your own operation to make it as seamless as possible for the customers. Because that's always
that's
where
really
you're going to get.
Perspective.
Right. But the question is, what path do you choose to get there? And I think if you choose the path that has the least impact on the customers, you'll get the most value for it. You know, that's one of the
great
things
point.
We saw.
Great.
I think also one of the other lessons we learned is about communication internally, right? You can never give too much information to your own employees about what's happening. What is the status of the integration? What are you planning to do? How is the business changing? You know, how are the employees connected? What are they going to do going forward? Because if you don't give them the information, they'll make up their own story.
That's
and,
right.
You know, typically the story they make up is not as good as the real thing. So it's, again, one of the valuable lessons we learned is communicate early, often, frequently, you know, as much information as you're able to give, because you want to retain all your key employees, right? You want your good people. And if they feel like they're out of touch or they don't know what's happening or they're not sure what the status is, they don't see where they fit into the new organization, it can make them uncomfortable and they may leave. And then, you know, the whole idea of combining operations and combining people, you know, you lose some of the benefit if you lose the good people, because that's what it's all about at the end of the day, right? People.
It really is.
They're a huge part of our business. We can't be successful without them. So you make sure you do everything you can in the process to keep your good people. Make sure they're connected and plugged in to what's happening. So I think that's another critical part. But, you know, the M&A is nothing to fear. I mean, I think, you know, if I look at Arch MI and United Guaranty, you had two great companies and two sets of great employees, two sets of great operations. And you've really got the ability to go through and you can pick the best of everything. So if you've got two different sets of operations, pick the better way. And that spans across your entire organization. And, you know, specific to mortgage insurance, you've got origination, you've got underwriting, you've got servicing, you've got claims, you've got your, you know, analytics, you've got your pricing models, and you've got your marketing, sales, I mean, a whole host of functions in the organization. And you get to pick the better process in each one of those areas.
It's a real
opportunity. You get to pick the better people. It's a great opportunity to quickly make your business much better, much more efficient, and really, you know, up the level of your staff. Always a little scary, but lots of good comes from it. So, you know, I think we feel really good. We feel great about, you know, the acquisition and where we've gotten to. So for us, it's all positive. Only good news for us.
Well, and the best part is it's showing up in the numbers and the results. And so that's ultimately the test that says it. And the values to the shareholders. And like you said earlier, keeping the customer in mind. Really think there's a lot of wisdom in that. You know, Arch MI has always been known for your innovation. And it looks like your company is back at it again, living up to it in 2018. So first off, I want to really get in and start looking and talk a little bit about your new AMGC community program, which supports the high LTV lending for borrowers who are essentially workers like teachers and first responders and policemen. Can you tell us a little bit about this program and how it works?
Sure. Yeah, David. So this is a new program for us, and we spent a lot of time at the MBA secondary conference 2 weeks ago already. I don't know. Time flies. I know it wasn't last week.
Yeah.
Maybe 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Maybe it's three. I don't know. It was in May. So we really started rolling the program out at that point. And our community program has two flavors. One we call community heroes. And the community heroes are those people who are important to the community and support the community. And that's going to be teachers, policemen, firefighters, you know, people who support, you know, our communities every day that let us go out and do what we do, knowing that we're going to have that support to help us. And the second flavor is our community experts. And those are going to be more technical professions. So that's going to be certified public accountants, you know, those people who are experts on derivative accounting, as you were mentioning before, you know, chartered financial analysts, PhDs, architects, certified mortgage bankers, designated actuaries, those sort of people. And what we've done is we've set up programs for each of those two groups that allows lower down payments, because we know that people struggle with being able to make the down payment, especially for those first-time home buyers. So in recognition of those who both support the community and, you know, customers who have jobs and positions that lead to potential stable income, we want to give them the opportunity to make their home purchase. So we put together this program through Arch Mortgage Guarantee Company. And the one trick to the program, David, I'll mention this is really a portfolio program. So, right, this is not a program that is eligible for purchase by the GSE.
Important point. Yeah. Very important point.
So this is for credit unions. It's for community banks. It's for, you know, regionals, depository. It's really, really geared toward people who have portfolios and they want to originate these loans to support their local communities. So again, you keep coming back to this community theme. So it's a portfolio program and it's a way for us to provide credit enhancement to those originators who are willing to originate some of these mortgages with lower down payment to really give opportunities to those who may not otherwise have enough funds saved up to make down payments for a home. So, you know, we think it's a really great program. You know, for now, as I mentioned, it's really for portfolio. I think, you know, phase two, ultimately, we would love to put together a program where we have investors who want to buy these type of loans, and then we can match it up with our independent mortgage bankers and give them an outlet. I would just say that I'll call that phase two. We're developing those programs right now, but they're not yet in place today, but we hope to have them soon.
Well, that reminds me, you and I have to have a conversation after we hang up from this phone, because I have just one such of those investors. A new investor is coming to market with a private product, and very interesting. I think it's interesting your innovation in this area. So when listeners, if your company is looking at creating something, get a hold of ArchMI and talk about their what they can do in the portfolio area and what they could do. And there is some exciting stuff coming to market. But that's a good update on some of the latest news, what's happening there. But what about your role in pioneering in the mortgage insurance? What can you tell us about how MI industry is evolving, especially focusing on the pricing part of it in relation to risk?
It's a timely question, David, because as we sit here on June 4th, you're probably aware, and your listeners are probably aware, that several of the mortgage insurance companies have enacted new prices, which become effective on June 4th. So today is the magic day when mortgage insurance rates are going to go down.
Is there a new race to the bottom on pricing? You guys aren't participating in that. I mean, you're doing risk-based pricing. The way you guys go about it is very intelligent, and I think that marks a leader on that. Is there a concern, should there be a concern in the industry, about a race to the bottom on the pricing side?
Yeah, David, I would say we've got to give the industry the benefit of the doubt. So the mortgage insurance industry has made really incredible strides over the last 10 years, right? So I think you've got to think about mortgage insurers differently today than you did post-crisis, because they're much more sophisticated in the way they do business. And we see, you know, risk-based pricing, and, you know, we have our RateStar program, which we've had for a number of years. And
very successful,
you know, anyone
program.
To your show has heard about it often, and the magical voice of Jim Jump talking about the great RateStar program. So we've got Jim. But, you know, others in the industry are moving that direction. And whether it's a true risk-based pricing program, as we would think of it, or maybe somewhere in the middle. And you've also got the rate cards today. The new rate cards that are effective on June 4th are more risk-based. So I wouldn't necessarily call them risk-based pricing, but they do have a move in that direction, where now they incorporate some additional risk factors, right? Number of borrowers, and also the debt-to-income ratio on a loan. So there's a movement toward risk-based pricing. And I think the influence of the GSEs having their private mortgage insurance eligibility requirements, or PMIERs, as we call them, has really set a minimum capital level. And I think having, you know, new master policies that came out in 2014, and having this movement toward more risk-based pricing, and having capital requirements as specified in the PMIERs, have really done a lot to help the industry. So I think there's a lot of positive, you know, as far as this rate change. I think if you look back to where the industry was in terms of profits in fall of 2017, really what this price cut does is it gives back the benefits of the federal income tax rate cut. So from a net profitability standpoint, we're kind of where we were. So, you know, net profits for the industry will be right about the same level they were in the fall before the tax cut. So I would say, you know, no need to sound the alarm bell yet. You know, I think it's a mischaracterization to say the industry is, you know, in a chase to the bottom, and they're on a spiral.
Okay, good. That's good. I mean, I wanted to erase that concern, because someone had said that they expressed that. So I'm actually, I wanted to pose the question that way to hear you as an industry thought leader clarify that. Because I agree with you. I don't know it's a race to the bottom, but they're, you know, I think it's important to know what kind of company and how strong they are. And that's why we're proud to have you as a sponsor. So you guys are so strong.
And David, I'd just say, you know, I'll plug the MI industry a little bit. I'll give some kudos here as an example where we saw the MI industry taking a leadership position in terms of credit, right? Where over the last 6 months, right, we saw a pretty dramatic increase in the mortgages that were originated with DTIs greater than 45%. And you saw some leadership in the MI industry saying, you know, we need to introduce some credit overlays. And, you know, we don't want to insure or individual companies, right? I mean, I don't want to make it sound like the industry is acting, you know, together, but individual companies determine that, you know, they don't want to insure loans that had high DTIs and FICO scores below a certain level. So to me, that's a good example of leadership and operating a little bit differently than they have in the past. So, you know, I'm pretty optimistic that the industry is in a better place and we're moving in a positive direction. So, you know, ultimately, time will tell. You know, I'm not ready to sound the alarm just yet. I think we've got these new rates that are becoming effective, and I hope that's it. You know, we made this one move, and you know, hopefully it doesn't continue any further than we've already gone.
Well, we saw someone published an article on the race at the bottom part of it, or there's some comment about it, or I think they were considering, and I wanted to dispel that, so that's good comment. Alice, before you have to exit the program, I know you have a meeting you're going to be running to. Do you have any thoughts on MI, especially from an underwriting and compliance standpoint?
Well, certainly, yeah. I know you guys have all been through a lot, and since you teed me up for underwriting, you know, that's always something that I think can vary from one company to the next. So do you find a philosophical difference as you've gone through this merger acquisition and, you know, that you had the level set at all?
Well, I think there is, you know, a cultural difference. We didn't talk about culture before, but I think, you know, cultures are an incredibly important part of the company. And, you know, we saw differences in, you know, underwriting guidelines, but they were relatively minor. You know, one of our first initiatives after the acquisition was to align the guidelines, and there were some differences, but I wouldn't say dramatic. I think the difference was more in the service and the customer orientation, you know, more so than the specific guidelines. So, you know, for us, it was very important to get the focus on customer service, you know, getting quick responses back, right? In the mortgage insurance, the time frame in which you underwrite a file and provide a decision back to the originator in their mortgage insurance application is key. So focusing on that time, trying to find ways to make that process more efficient. What was great, and that's something we continue to work on today, is to try to find a faster way to do it, a more efficient way to underwrite, to automate where we can and where it makes sense. And that's a place where we do continue to spend a lot of our time and effort.
Great. Thank you.
You bet. You know, David, your Arch MI RaceStar program has been just an industry changer. I mean, it's a game changer for our market. We're thrilled to see it and the success of that. But I understand you have a more powerful RaceStar program on the way. Is there anything you can elaborate or share about that?
Yeah, I'm glad to give you a little sneak peek here. I think, you know, unfortunately, the June 4th rate change has set us back a couple weeks. But we've got a new enhancement to RateStar that we're going to be launching here later in the June, and that's called RateStar Buy-Down.
So what is this? Tell us a little bit about it.
It's something that allows a lender to customize a MI monthly premium by putting money down, effectively. Think about it as mortgage insurance's answer to an interest rate buy-down, where if you have funds available at the closing table, and it could be buyer's funds, it could be seller's funds, it could be the mortgage company's funds, you can put that money down as an upfront payment on the mortgage insurance and lower your monthly payment in exchange for that. So it's a way to control the monthly MI payment by putting money down. And like I said, it can come from different sources of funds. But what it does is it allows you to use every dollar available. And I know we've had a lot of comments from loan officers that they had funds that they couldn't use, right? You get to the closing and all of a sudden there's extra dollars. And what do you do with it, right? Nothing. So this is a way for you to use those funds and perhaps qualify extra borrowers. You can control a DTI payment potentially by managing the mortgage insurance premium that could ultimately affect the DTI. So, and maybe the difference between a 45 DTI and a 44 DTI. And it's a way to really allow more people to qualify for homes by being more flexible in the payment. So it's another option, another tool that people can use.
Very effective.
Feedback has been very positive so far. And like I said, we're going to get this program rolled out within the next couple of weeks.
I love your innovation, and I'm sure the RaceStar Buy-Down program will definitely have a positive impact. But let's turn to the broader picture. What about this general trend we're seeing of decreasing MI pricing? You mentioned it earlier. What's causing it, and what kind of effect will this have on Arch MI's commitment to maintaining their strong capital position? You alluded to this earlier, but I'm really interested in your perspective on this.
You know, David, to me, you're seeing this. Hopefully, it's not a trend. I'd like to think it's a one-time reduction, not a trend. You know, the mortgage insurance industry has always been and will likely always be competitive. So when you have a company that moves their rates, you know, not very different from the airline industry, right? One person changes the price of flights, and then the rest of the airlines match. That kind of happens in the mortgage insurance industry too. So, you know, we have one person who you know, decides to make a change, one company for whatever reason, and then what typically happens is the industry tends to match, at least on the rate card. You know, we're in a little bit of a different position because we have a risk-based price, so we can tweak if we want. But you know, typically the industry ultimately coalesces around a single rate card. So, yep. You know, at the end of the day, the good news is lower payment for customers. More people are going to hopefully qualify for mortgages. Maybe some opportunities for business that would have gone to the FHA to now come over to the private market. But I don't think we're at the point of jeopardizing solvency. You know, obviously, we need to be very careful about what happens in the economy. And David, you know, we've got some great research out there, our housing and mortgage monthly report, which you can find on our website. You know, we feel pretty good about the state of the housing economy. So, you know, we think that a rate decrease, maybe it's going to compromise your returns a little bit. But like I said before, really just restoring them back to the pre-tax cut level.
Okay.
So, you know, I think, you know, we're giving some value back to borrowers, but not jeopardizing solvency. But like we've said, and like you see other places, hopefully this is not the beginning of a worrisome trend, but rather a one-time adjustment, and we'll hit a period of stabilization from here.
One of the things that you're doing that is very interesting to me is you're launching a new website portal that allows underwriters to submit scenarios and questions prior to the loan being underwritten. I think that is very innovative, and I can't wait to tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, David, that's really along the line of the service we talked about before is, you know, when you have common mortgage scenario, right, 80, 90% of your loans are pretty plain vanilla, no extra effort needed. But, you know, in the situation where you're not quite sure and you've got to find clever ways or more creative ways to qualify borrowers, this answer scenarios and knowledge is a way for you to talk to your MI underwriter and find out, would they qualify a borrower under certain conditions or what sort of guidelines are, or get a view from them at how would they would treat income or how they would treat debt. And it's really a way for you to be interactive and get immediate feedback from your underwriter rather than, you know, submit an application, wait for a decision, and then submit a revised application, wait for a decision and submit a revised. It's a more interactive process, and it's really going toward the service we talked about before, which is so important in this business.
That's
so
good.
It's a way for a loan officer or a loan processor to speak to their MI underwriting counterpart and try to figure out a way to qualify a borrower.
It's really providing that service back to the industry. And I like, if I understand correctly, you call it Ask Arch MI. Is that the title of this or what?
Yes, it's called Ask Arch MI, and the ASK stands for Answer Scenarios and Knowledge. And it's really...
Oh,
you know,
I love that. That's an acronym. Very good.
That's the handy work of Jim Jump right there.
Oh, man. You know that Jump. He does have a good team. I love that. That's a great acronym. Yeah. Let's talk also what you're doing as far as innovation in the credit risk transfer, the CRTs. Really interested in some of the developments there, as well as the MRT, which is the mortgage risk transfer. Give us a quick update as we wrap up our interview today.
That's really an innovative program that we introduced. And it really fits some of the characteristics of the GSE's credit risk transfer programs or CRT programs. And
right.
It's an innovative way for the GSEs to purchase mortgage insurance on a forward commitment basis from a more diverse panel of counterparties. So when we think about traditional mortgage insurance, right, we've got our mortgage insurance companies. But this is an alternative. And a lot of the CRT programs that we've seen have been back-end transfers, you know, i.e. the GSEs buy a loan, they aggregate them up on their balance sheet for a little while, and then they buy some protection. Well, this is a way for them to secure alternative protection at the time they purchase a loan. So it's very innovative in that regard.
Good.
And it's really, you know, from our perspective, it's just another option for a lender. You know, if they want to use this MRT program, which you may know as is Imagine. So, you know,
right.
Freddie Mac has
labeled like
this program as Imagine.
Yep.
So it may be more known to your listeners under that form. But really, it's a choice. And if they want to use the Imagine program, that's fantastic. If they want to use lender-paid mortgage insurance, that's fantastic. If they want to use borrower-paid mortgage insurance, they have that option as well. And from where we come from, you know, more options are better. This option is going to work well for some, may not work as well for others. But I think by giving the choice, we feel like we're making a better industry, giving more options and providing really diversification and bringing additional private capital to the mortgage insurance business. You know, when we talk about housing finance reform, one theme that everyone always seems to agree on is let's bring more private capital to housing finance, right? Let's bring more
capital to
the mortgage business. And this is just a way for us to do that. So You know, we'll see where it goes and how it evolves over time.
Well, again, what it comes down to is thought leadership and leadership in the industry. And Arch MI has played such a significant role. You guys were the first one to roll out automation with the RateStar program, as we hear Jim tell us every week about. And I just give you kudos to an organization. I am getting a lot of feedback and a million questions coming in. And I think the best way to do this is I'm going to share some of these with Jim. And let's get you back on here again soon. One of your competitors wrote, says, yes, please get it back soon. I want to learn more of what they're doing so we can sell against them. Yeah, that's a compliment to you. When your competition is giving you kudos of, you know, the thought leadership and the innovation showing up, that's a real plus. I'm chuckling over that. David, thank you so much for taking time to be here with us. Jim and the team there, you've got a whole group of really top professionals. I just tell you, it's such a joy to meet at so many of these across, as I do so much public speaking, and each one of your people that come forward are just, you truly have, you got the best of the best working for you.
You know, at the end of the day, you know, we're able to do this because of our team. Not a one-man organization. We've got a lot of great people, and you know Jim and the marketing team, and you know, a lot of people on our sales team. But
the sales team is really good. Yeah.
Great bunch here in the home office, working hard every day to make us a great company.
Number one thing, listeners, you can do if you want to get in touch, if you're not doing business with Arch MI, get a hold of your local representative, get signed up with them. I can't imagine you're not already, but learn about these programs. Share this podcast with others. A lot of innovation going on here at this company. Folks, we had David Gansberg, president and CEO of Arch MI, as our guest for the last part of this program. Appreciate you share this with others. We'll look forward to having you here next week, everyone. Have a blessed week. Thanks goes out to our sponsors. Again, who we are so grateful to have: Arch MI, Black Knight, Open Mortgage, MBA, Predictive, a new marketing tool, Mortgage Collaborative, Velmum, Knowledge Coop, and Lenders One. Thank you so much, everybody. See you back here next week.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.